We are very pleased to see you, every one. Every soul is precious in the sight of God who is here tonight, unsaved. What a night it would be if this were the night when you would receive our Lord Jesus as your Savior for time and for all eternity. Shall we read now in the Gospel by Luke, the beloved physician? Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, the last chapter. The words and the happenings in the upper room on that wonderful resurrection evening when he rose from the dead. Verse 45. Then opened he, the Lord Jesus, opening their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ, was necessary that Christ should suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission, or the forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Turn back to Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. The third of Mark. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. Now, the next reading is in the book of the Acts, chapter 10, 10th of the Acts. Now, verse 38, Peter preaching in Cornelius' house, Roman soldier, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he it is, that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. Now, one other reading here before we make our remarks. Ephesians chapter 1. Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1. One verse here will suffice. Verse 7. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his faithful word. I have departed a little from my usual custom of reading a short gospel text and making its application. But the subject that I'm going to speak about will be readily remembered. It's the first line subject upon our mind for this, the second week, is the subject of the forgiveness of sin. It's one of the most vital subjects that can be presented to an audience. Without this forgiveness of sin, there can be no peace in this life, no lasting rest in time, and certainly no peace in the hour of death and for all eternity. The forgiveness of sin. Now in Luke chapter 24, we have one of the infallible proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let me say at the very beginning, if Christ does not raise, we have no message to preach. If he's yet in that garden tomb, there is no power to our preaching and no hope for any who are in their sins. But on the third day he rose again, and he was seen of many. And the infallible proofs not only lie in the evidences in the tomb, but they lie in the words that men heard in the upper room and by the seashore and in the garden and by the highway. The Savior walked and talked and talked for 40 days after his resurrection. And then from the slopes of the ancient Mount of Olives, with his hands uplifted high, he ascended to the right hand of the Majesty in the heaven, having made purification for all our sins. Paul, when he writes about the gospel, he said, Christ died for our sin, according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And while we preach, he's in the glory at God's right hand. And before another morning dawns, he may be in the air to take his people home. And if that should take place tonight, then the offer of forgiveness will be withdrawn from those who now perish. The time for you to obtain this wonderful salvation is tonight, to make sure before you lie down this evening that your sins are forgiven. Now in the upper room, the Savior opened their understanding, among other things. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he pointed out that it was absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer, and that he should be the first that would rise from the dead. And then in this lovely gospel, the commission is given in an unusual way, and in a tender way, touching way. The commission in the other gospels is more formal, shall I say, but here there's a warmth. In the words that Lucas penned by the Divine Spirit, that repentance and the forgiveness of sin, the two elements that make up our preaching, that man would repent of their sins, and having repented thereof, they could receive the forgiveness of sin, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached. This is how God makes it known, by preaching, the foolishness of preaching in the ears of men. How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent. And we desire that God has given us a word in your ear. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations. And we're here on the authority of heaven's greatest name, the name that is above every name. And in that name we preach the forgiveness of sins in his name among all nations. None are excluded. The message of forgiveness reaches out to every person in the whole wide world tonight. It is God's desire that all would have an offer in one life down here. God never promises two offers of salvation or two offers of forgiveness, but he desires men to at least have an offer of forgiveness. And some of you may have a dozen of offers of forgiveness. In this old world, there are people that have never had a genuine offer of forgiveness. Oh, how thankful we should be that we live in a place where these offers are constantly been made known in the ears of men. Forgiveness of sins preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so Peter preached the streets of Jerusalem at Pentecost, and the message has gone out to Samaria and out to the uttermost islands of the sea. And tonight, this night, in March 1987, in many places all over the universe, men are preaching in different dialects to different audiences, some of them dark and sinful, others living in sophisticated societies filled with affluence and materialism. But the gospel is still going out. Blessed be the name of God. And men can have the forgiveness of sins even at this late hour in the dispensation of divine grace, the forgiveness of sins. Now I'm going to speak of this subject of the forgiveness of sins, seeing the Savior sent, that it was his desire that repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Many things we do, we may not have the absolute authority for what we're doing. There are practices at times and things that we may engage in that would have principles for doing, but not a direct precept. But I'm happy tonight that I'm in direct line with the very mind of God tonight and the desire of the Lord Jesus, my Savior and Redeemer. He desired that repentance toward God and the remission of sins would be announced in his blessed name wherever men are found. Tell the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died. And tonight, if there's one soul here, and there's likely quite a number here unsaved, but if there's one here tonight with a real God-given desire, and you feel the emptiness of this old world, and your heart is heavy, and you're longing to be saved, like some we have spoken to already in the last few days, that the Spirit of God is dealing with. Only God can give you thoughts of heaven and hell and salvation. And if there's any here with any thought in your mind tonight, oh, I pray God, as we seek to present in a humble way as a servant of Christ these blessed themes of forgiveness, that you might put out your hand tonight, whoever you may be, and say, Lord Jesus, I do take this wonderful gift of eternal life, and I will receive thy beloved Son, O God, as my Savior for time and eternity. You'll never forget this Monday night, when all others would have forgotten it. You'd look back to it and say that was the night in that simple gospel meeting when I heard the forgiveness of sins and I knew I needed it. And I received Christ as my Savior and Lord, most important day in a man's life. Now let me say a few things about it. The first is evident, and that is the need of the forgiveness of sins. Wherever I go, the needs of man are many. The needs of various societies differ as do their faces. Economically and socially, there are many differences in communities. But there is one thing that every sinner outside of heaven requires tonight in this old world that's ripening for judgment. They need the forgiveness of their sins. Oh, you need tonight the forgiveness of your sins. The greatest need of mankind is the forgiveness of sins. And we all need it for the simple reason that we all enter the world sinners by nature. Even in the womb of our mother, we were conceived in sin, telling me that I was a real person in the womb of my mother. I didn't intend to say this, but I'm a strong believer that abortion is murder in the womb. I preach it everywhere I go. People say you should never do that in a gospel meeting. I just preach whatever I believe. I want to say that we were shapen in iniquity, Psalm 51:5, every one of us. Only one holy body without a spot in the womb of his virgin mother was our beloved Savior. All others entered this world ruined by the birth and fallen. Whether your parents were believing ones or not, it matters not. And let me set the issue straight tonight that in this present age, God has no favorites. There seems to be creeping in an idea that because a man's father is saved and his grandfather and his mother, that there's some special dispensation given. Some are even preaching that if the Lord comes, those children will be saved without ever believing the gospel. It's tremendous what we hear today and in some circles that you at least expect. As God looks down, the vilest man in Vancouver is as dear to his heart as that self-righteous, psalm-singing person. The child of many prayers is no dearer to his heart than some vagabond. Look at the verse behind me, God so loved the world. I've always believed that, and I've preached it all my life. All the years of my simple gospel preaching, I've looked at that verse every night before I went to preach. God so loved the world of lost men. Whoever's there tonight, God loves them, and Christ has died on the middle cross that he might be saved from going to hell. It's not the will of God that any should perish. Even that one, however wretched, would close his eyes and waken hell. What would it be like to be lost, never to be saved? We need the forgiveness of sins because of the ruin of our nature and because of the practice of our lives. Romans 3:23, there is no difference. There's a great difference in race, color, and a great difference into the degree of sin that men sink. But one sin is sufficient to keep you out of the presence of God forever. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every child here needs the forgiveness of sins. Every teenager that may be here. Every man tonight needs the forgiveness of sins. Every woman, every father, every grandfather. All of us must have and should receive the forgiveness of sins, without which there can be no heaven. I want to set it down absolutely plain tonight. We not only need it that we might be cleansed from its defilement and from the guilt of our sin, but without the forgiveness of sins and the hour of death, heaven's door is closed. No one can ever enter that blessed place without forgiveness. Jesus said in John 8, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. I want you to listen to the words of the Savior tonight. He says, where I am, you cannot come. If you die without the forgiveness of sins, and many today have died without the forgiveness of sins. When I heard of that terrible accident up at Squamish last night, the first thing I thought about was, I wonder if that dear man, 70 years of age, if he had the forgiveness of sins. What an awful thing to die along the highway without the forgiveness of sins, and to be plunged into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. To lift up your eyes on the wrong side of that gulf and realize I need never have come here. Christ died and I could have been saved, and I heard the gospel, but I trifled and played the fool and put it off. And God spoke to me many a time. God speaketh once, yea, twice. In one way it means God speaketh in one way, yet in another way. Man perceiveth it not. Forgiveness of sins is needed. It's vital. It's most important. It's the one. Forgiveness of sins is needed. It's vital. It's most important. It's the one thing that is needful and the one thing that is vital at the end of the journey as well as along the journey. You can never have true happiness here without knowing that the sky is clear between your soul and God, and that your many sins have been blotted out as a thick cloud, and that all is well between you and God. But at the end of a journey, to think of sin rising up before you, and to meet God in your sin. Man was dying some time ago in a little hospital, and he kept saying to the nurse, hide me. Hide me. He knelt down and said, hide me from what? He said, hide me from God. Hide me from God. He was dying in his sins without a shelter. He was going out to meet God without the forgiveness of sins or without that sheltering blood. Friend of mine, let me ask you tonight, is all well with your soul? The need of forgiveness. You'll never be saved until you acknowledge that need. The first step on the way to forgiveness is to own like the prodigal father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Or like the publican who smote upon his breast and cried the sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, the sinner. You ever said that?
You ever kneel down by your bedside and dead earnestly and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, I need Christ. And I want the forgiveness of sin.
You need a forgiveness. And I want to speak on the second thing that's on my heart. The Savior said that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name. It was the desire of the Lord Jesus that His servants would go out wherever men were found and would preach. And the word preach means to proclaim as a herald, to announce on their ears. I'm not here to lecture. I'm not here to entertain. We're not here to substitute gimmicks for the gospel. We're not here tonight to give you an interesting account of our travels. But I'm here tonight to announce in your ears a genuine offer that is worth everything to you if you were saved tonight, worth all that the world couldn't buy what I'm going to tell you. The preaching of the forgiveness of sin. The Savior said that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name. Acts 13, Paul at Antioch in Pisidia, he stood up and he said, men, brethren, be it known unto you therefore that through this man, through Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He said in his great commission that he was sent to turn them from darkness to light and from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, and that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified through faith in Christ. We are sent to preach the forgiveness of sin. Wonderful subject to preach. Now let me say something about the preaching of the forgiveness of sin. That in the preaching of the forgiveness of sins, God is making a genuine offer to any sinner anywhere that those sins of his can be removed, can be put away, can be blotted out, and that he can be justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are here to announce that you can receive tonight without money, without signing a document, without the promise of reformation, without joining any company, without raising your hand, for being saved and receiving this offer is heart work. It is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth the confession is made unto salvation. When the man wanted to be baptized last night in Acts 8, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Is there anyone here would believe right now in his heart that God has given you an offer of the forgiveness of sin in this evening sin? And in the silence of this Monday night, far away from your home and from the busy throngs that travel the streets around Vancouver in the quietness of this little gospel hall built for the gospel. Whenever I read gospel hall, it brings the tears to my eyes. For the prime object is not only we should gather here to carry out the things that the Lord commanded, but primarily it's a light in the darkness for the preaching of the glad evangel.
And if we lose our gospel spirit, we have lost everything. God has given you an office in the preaching command. Be it known unto you therefore that through Christ is preached the forgiveness of sin, a genuine offer. And this offer is not only genuine, but it's absolutely free. Nothing to pay. Nothing to do. It's presented as a gift in Romans 6:23. And the revisers put free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. It's offering a gift to man. Wants you to have it. But while it's a gift, there was nothing ever cost God more to provide. To arrange the starry heavens, he spake a word of his lips. The breath of his lips, the heavens were made. In order to put this earth in its place and to contain it and fill it with all the wonderful things that our eyes see, he simply spake, never left his home above, but in order that he might have the forgiveness of sins, a price was paid. He left his home above to reveal God's wondrous love and to open a fountain for sin. We'll never, never be able to comprehend the stoop that he took. I've often said that the measurement from the manger, from the mansion to the moon, will never be appreciated until we see the mansion itself. From the mansions in the sky, where peace and absolute joy was ever his, he came down to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and his head was pillowed in a manger dark and dark. Jesus said, Savior of the world, rich, he became poor. God is giving you a free offer tonight. But it cost heaven everything. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's a sacrificial verb. He gave him to die on Calvary's cross. To pay the mighty price of sin. That we could have this offer of forgiveness here tonight. It's a genuine offer. It's a free offer. And it's a timely offer. Jesus said in Mark 2, in connection with the forgiveness of sins, that you may know that the Son of Man hath the authority on earth to forgive sins. There's no forgiveness of sins beyond this life. There's no purgatory in the Bible. No amount of praying and weeping can ever deliver a soul that's once gone over the boundary line. 5 minutes, 1 minute, 30 seconds. Your eyes are closed, and the story's over. You never have the forgiveness of sins on the other side. Too late. I want to tell you I knelt down today and thank God that I got the forgiveness of sins when I was a boy at 19. I never have got it now. I know God can save older men, but very few get it. I'm glad that as a boy I knelt at the cross as a sinner in repentance. I changed my whole mind. That's what it means. Repentance is a change of mind. And the bitterness was gone. And the attitude was changed. And I knelt at the cross and took it in that on that tree another person had borne the penalty that was mine. And I received that wonderful gift, the gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. Blessed be God our God. What about you tonight? Have you got the forgiveness of sin? The timely offer has been offered to you tonight. Tomorrow, the offer could be withdrawn.
Tomorrow night, there may be no meeting in this hall. The coming of the Lord is very near. And tomorrow night, someone here could have drifted. If you're in any doubt tonight, man, about this matter, let us get down face to face, man to man, heart to heart. Let us have a talk right now. I want to speak to you right here. Have you got doubts and fears that you're not forgiven? Does arise in your heart that lurking fear? Somehow I may have missed this forgiveness, although I have heard it so many times. Oh, don't go away tonight from Christ. Don't leave when the Spirit of God is dealing with you, because He only deals very occasionally in our day. Many, many series of meetings come and go, and the ministry is clear. I have always sought to preach the gospel plainly, but there were times when I preached it as plain as a man could preach it, but it wasn't reaching anyone. Why? The Spirit of God wasn't working. And I don't know the ways of the Spirit. I've been using the Word of God a long time in the preaching of the gospel, but I have to confess that I don't understand how God works. He moves in places we would least expect. He moves on souls we would never choose. He deals with people in ways before the meetings commence. He brings together ones we would never have thought about. He uses a scripture that we might have paid no attention to. The wind bloweth where it pleaseth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And I believe in these meetings the last few nights, the Lord has been drawing strangely near. Someone has been spoken to every night, and man, you're here tonight, and God is calling you. This is the opportunity. Could travel hundreds of miles and not hear the voice of God today. The best of men must acknowledge that unless God is with them, all is empty. And the longer I live and the older I get, the more I ask God that He might touch the hearts of men as we preach the simple Word of God to the very souls of those who need Christ. Friend of mine, tonight you need the Savior. What if He would strive nevermore? What if someone was getting their last opportunity in these meetings? The Spirit of God moving upon your heart and making you anxious as you've never been anxious before to have the forgiveness of sin. And if He does that, even the Lord's people have helped. Backsliders will be restored. And those who may have a profession will soon throw away that empty garment. Young man, let me say to you tonight, if you haven't got reality, and the Lord knows my heart, and my brother knows my heart, I'm not one of those creatures that digged and hurt. But oh, tonight this is for eternity. What would it mean to end up and find out I have missed the forgiveness of sins, and I'm going down to burn in hell forever, never to be saved, to be lost. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. But if you've never seen the light of yonder sun,
Better to have died on the knees of your mother at birth than to live and die and hear the gospel and go through the Sunday school and listen to the plain preaching, the faithful word of God, and to go through it all and finish it minus Christ. It's a timely offer tonight. God is making it right now. Will you have it? Will you be man enough to come out into the open? Will you have the courage to do it? And to strip away the outward veil of indifference and apathy and carelessness? Preaching years ago in a little hut. And I think the most of the people I saw saved were saved in tents and huts and barns. There's a little hut away high in the mountains where people talk their own language and live their own lives. They were hard. It was hard to preach for the first few nights, very few came. But by and by the little place was filled. And many, many nights at the end, I would see those men knelt in the corner of that little hut, weeping. Oh, that we could see people broken down and weeping their way to Calvary to get saved from going to hell in 1987. There's no organization. The preaching was simple, plain. The Spirit of God was working just as He's working right now in West Richmond. I didn't want to come to West Richmond for gospel meetings. But right now, but God brought me. I prayed a great deal about it. I came in fear and trembling. What could I do? Who am I? Nobody. But if God would be with me, maybe some souls would get saved from going down to hell. There's only one. Would bless the assembly and help the saints and cheer us up in the midst of the dark and difficult days that we live in. I'm convinced that God sent me for someone. And the circumstances are such that some of you would not have been here 6 months ago when the tent was down the road. You knew it was there, but you never attended. But things are so arranged that God has brought us together at the time, the right time. It's a wonderful thing to be at the right place at the right time. I always ask the Lord in any little service, oh, that I might be in the right place at the right time with the right message and the right spirit and the right attitude. My heart right with God. How can I tell others if I'm grieving about something or I haven't got right with God and with my brethren? Tonight, listen, the Lord is here to offer you in time that wonderful forgiveness of sins. The preaching of it. But listen, how far will He go? The extent of the forgiveness of sins. Maybe there's someone here and you say, my sins are so many. The secrets of my life. The things I have gotten into. That no one knows anything about. I'm ashamed of it. And I don't want to be reminded of it. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. There's a day coming. It'll be brought out into the light of His presence. I read in Mark 3,
a sentence or two that I wanted to read. All manner of sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of man, and all blasphemies with which blasphemies they may blaspheme. All sins shall be forgiven, and all blasphemies. Men may blaspheme his maker, and take the holy name of the Savior upon his lips every day, and blaspheme the Savior's name, curse and swear, and be foul-mouthed. Men may be immoral and wretched, and the heart is deceitful of man above all things. Listen, all those things can be forgiven tonight. You can go out of this little gospel hall, clean every whit. Clean every whit. You say, how can it be? That's why I read Ephesians 1:7, the ground of it, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the Savior's blood. When we speak of the Savior's blood, we mean his life that was given, the mighty sacrifice. The very core of the gospel is simply this: I'm the sinner, and my sins deserve eternal fire. And if I die in them, I pay the supreme penalty in the lake of fire forever. But the Lord Jesus was willing to take my place. There's a lovely hymn in that book we sang the other night, in the place I was, there was one that was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. In the path to the cross, he was willing to tread all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to his cross. They are nailed to his cross. Oh, how much he was willing to die. With what anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross. And he carried my sins with a man. I was saved through the beautiful words of 1 Peter 2:24 when I was a boy. Through his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And I saw that on that shameful tree, the blessed Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, took my sins. And those sins were laid upon the Savior who bare my load at Calvary. He was wounded for our transgression. These are not the wounds the soldiers gave, and they were severe. These are not the wounds the cruel hands inflicted, but he's wounded as a substitute. The hand of God, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised under the wrath of God on Calvary. The sufferings of a sinless soul. His head was crowned with thorns, and the blood ran down, mingled with the spitting and the tears. His hands were pierced, but he bared his bosom to take the wrath of Jehovah, the wrath of God. Wave after wave swept over him, and in the lovely song, chapter 8, we read those beautiful words: many waters cannot quench love, for the flood drowned. He went down to the darkness, and the wrath of death poured upon him. And as he came out of that darkness,
begun, everlasting. It is finished. You want to be saved tonight. There is a work finished that comes. It brings the forgiveness of sins that we get. You don't need to know any theology. All you need to know is this. I am a guilty sinner. But, you're mine tonight. Doesn't matter your nationality. Doesn't matter your religion. Doesn't matter where you're from or who you are. I'm not interested in races anymore. I couldn't be less concerned with the color of a man's skin or where he's from. Listen, I am a guilty sinner, but the most important but in the universe, but Jesus died for me. If you are the only one, just put yourself alone in the world, as if you were the only one that had ever sinned. The Savior bore it all on Calvary, that you might forever go free. Will you receive it? Whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Let yours commence through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we desire that the message on the forgiveness of sins might be blessed tonight, and that someone may be in the attitude of David when he said, "Oh, the happiness of the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whose sins have been put away. Thank God, our many sins are all forgiven. And we're going on to see the one who paid the price, Calvary, that precious blood. Without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. The Savior was willing to die in our stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. So we pray thy blessing on the precious gospel of thy grace tonight, and the message that the Savior desired to be preached, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name. And when we think of those lovely words, beginning at Jerusalem, the vilest place on earth, go to the man that nailed me to the cross, go to that brutal soldier that pierced my side, and tell him there is forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. His heart could only love. What a person he is. Never seen him. We thank God for thy well-beloved son, the Lord Jesus. We trust that someone may trust that Savior tonight, this Monday night, here in the West Richmond Gospel Hall, it's the mind of the elders, the mind of the whole assembly. The soul will be saved under our roof. We're not worthy. As one quoted today, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under the roof. But he is worthy for whom thou would do it. Lord, visit us again. Thy salvation is prayed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Perhaps we could sing a verse of that beautiful song. There was one that was willing to die in our stead. Number 223 is the number of that song. You know that song, brother, don't you? That's good. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. The path to the cross he was willing to tread, the sins of my life
to forgive. We'll sing the first and the last verse of this lovely song, 223.